Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Rhode Island's U.S. Senator Jack Reed says he agrees with President Barack Obama's call for a delay in voting on military intervention in Syria. Reed says a diplomatic solution to the crisis would be in everyone's best interest, but he cautions the proposal from Russia may not pan out.
So this proposal has to be seriously looked at. It has to be approached with some skepticism because the Russians have been protecting the Assad regime for years now. We have to call them out and hopefully that they will come forward in terms of responsible world leadership and help us eliminate this chemical weapons threat in Syria.
Rhode Island's other U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse says he is hopeful the proposal from Russia will avert a military intervention in Syria. Across the state, Rhode Islanders will be remembering those who died in the 9/11 terrorist attacks today. Rhode Island Public Radio's Catherine Welch has more on what's planned.
Members of the Providence Fire Department will gather this morning to remember the dead with prayer and speeches. The ceremony takes place at 9 this morning and will be held at the Providence Public Safety Complex. In the evening, family and friends of 9/11 victims will gather at the Wall of Hope, located at the entrance to Water Place Park in downtown Providence, to dedicate a new memorial. The Wall of Hope is a collection of 11,000 individually painted tiles expressing a commitment to peace and unity. And the governor has called for a voluntary statewide moment of silence at 8:46 this morning. That's when the first plane, Flight 11, crashed into the North Tower between the 93rd and 99th floors. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Cranston Mayor Alan Fung has taken a step toward running for governor next year by forming an exploratory committee. The group includes most of Rhode Island's most prominent Republicans. Starting in 2008, Fung has won three elections as mayor of Cranston. On the Democratic side of the race for governor, State Treasurer Gina Raimondo and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras are expected to run. Also in the running is Moderate Party founder Ken Block, who has said he's considering running as a Republican. The town of Johnston has reached an out-of-court settlement with a company charged with removing methane gas from the central landfill. The company, Broad Rock Renewables, has been accused of creating odors that filled the town. Under the agreement, Broad Rock will pay the town $3 million over 20 years. In exchange, all violation notices and a lawsuit brought by the town will be dropped. Broad Rock spokesman Bill Fisher says it's time to move forward.
We want to have a good working relationship with the town and with the mayor. There's been some water that's under the bridge. This agreement puts that behind us, and we're looking forward at this point.
This is the second settlement over landfill odors in as many months. In August, Johnston announced a $3 million settlement with the Rhode Island Resource Recovery Corporation, the agency that operates the landfill, to compensate residents for their difficulties. And in Coventry, town officials will be checking on residents' lawns with the power to order the lawns to be mowed or else face a lien on their property. The Providence Journal reports the town council passed an ordinance this week to require lawns to be no higher than 12 inches. Otherwise, the town may send a town employee to mow it, then bill the homeowner for the cost. Some Coventry residents have been complaining about some of their neighbors' lawns.
What is the scope of Alzheimer's? Who it affects in Rhode Island, not only just the disease, but also the caregivers?
Well, there are so many with the disease, many of them kind of on the public radar screen, many of them not. Most people with Alzheimer's are home with family, with caregivers. And it's one reason we embarked, Catherine Taylor, the head of elderly affairs for the state, and I embarked on this effort is really we began with a series of public meetings out in the community to hear from families and individuals all around the state about their experiences so we could really do a plan. Where do we need to be looking and going on behalf of people and families in the state? What's the impact on the economy? All sorts of questions that we were looking to answer. And we've put together a plan that says, okay, here are lots of things we can do better. Here are some things that are good and we need to strengthen. Here are some real gaps. And it's been a fascinating journey and great stories we hear from Rhode Islanders who came to talk to us about it.
So, yes, you did tour the state. Who did you hear from?
We heard from caregivers. We heard from people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia who came personally to tell their stories.
And what did they tell you?
Some of them came to tell us how proud they are of how well they're doing. talked about what they do in their lives to stay as independent and active as possible. They were some very positive stories, and it sent a message about how, you know, this isn't really a disaster. This is to a family. This is something that's a big change. And people came to tell some very powerful stories of positive experiences they're having.
Is there one that sticks with you?
There was a gentleman who stood up in Warwick, one of our early ones. We were at the Kent County Y. He was the first person who spoke, and he stood up and he said, I'm somebody who's here. I'm somebody who has a diagnosis. And I want to tell you, one of the best things I do is I ski. Hmm. And you could have knocked me over. It wasn't what I expected to hear. And it was a great story. I will tell you, we also heard some very sad stories of people struggling up in the middle of the night, the time that they had to themselves online, trying to find answers and contacts and people who could help them navigate a challenging world of caring for someone, not really knowing where to turn for the supports they need.
And let's talk about resources for a second, because you and the head of the Division of Elderly Affairs, Catherine Taylor, you co-chaired this work group. You dug into how Rhode Islanders are coping with the challenges and also the resources available. So what did you find were the resources that are available for Rhode Islanders right now, and where do we need to improve?
Well, the Alzheimer's Association, which is a national organization, has a very strong chapter here, also a partner for us in this effort. And they have a lot of resources. It's largely a volunteer-run organization built on support groups, which exist throughout the state, also programs for people in early stages of Alzheimer's disease. So we heard about those resources. It's interesting that Alzheimer's and dementia sort of falls through the cracks in a sense. It doesn't count as a skilled medical need. So visiting nurse services, we discovered, are often not available to people with Alzheimer's unless they've been hospitalized for a reason. So it was interesting to see the gaps, things we expected people were using that weren't available to them, the strength of families and communities and kind of helping people. There's a Chinese church in Pawtucket that stepped forward and said, you know, we're doing a lot. We want to do more. We want to create an adult day program. Can you help us? So lots of discussions about people taking on the challenges themselves, clearly a need to support them in that effort. Sometimes that's around resources that are financial, but sometimes it's really about kind of putting the technical support in a sense. How do you start an adult day program? How do you put together the people to make that work?
Hmm. And so to the people who are the caregivers, what are some of the top challenges they face?
Well, one is kind of knowing what to expect. And one of the things, there are support groups, but one of our recommendations is really to create a peer mentoring. So you can have a partner who might be a little wise ahead of you, or maybe has already had someone pass away in their family, but who can help you navigate the system of keeping someone independent, finding physicians who understand and can help you. There's a lot of opportunity to create those partnerships going forward.
And I can imagine with Alzheimer's caregivers that there's a high burnout.
And people talked about that burnout, but it was amazing to me how they hung in there. It's the people that they love. And I think our job as a community is to provide them with some support that helps them not burn out as quickly, because it's really important for people to stay home and independent as long as possible.
But you also need time to yourself. So whereas a new parent could call a babysitter, who do you call if you're a caregiver for an Alzheimer's patient?
Well, there is a respite, what's called respite services in Rhode Island. One of our recommendations is to expand that availability of that service. Perhaps you have a family wedding, something that would be impossible for you, especially if it was an out-of-town overnight. There is a program here, the diocese is the one that runs the program under contract with the state. But one of our recommendations is to really expand that and see what other opportunities there are, maybe for 2 hours in the morning, so you can go do something for yourself.
And that would be the Care Breaks program?
Right. Mm. Right.
And right now you would probably have to book that in advance, but what if you needed somebody at the drop of a hat?
Another challenge. You see people put together informal networks with other family and neighbors. But we really, as more and more people, and if you look at the national statistics about how prevalent this dementia, particularly Alzheimer's, will be going forward and how many of us live to very old ages, we need to create stronger systems of support for people.
Lieutenant Governor Roberts, your plan addresses the caregivers of Alzheimer's patients who aren't staying at home. They're caregiving and they're going to work.
Right. And adult day programs are a major resource in our state. There are many throughout the state where people can go and have social interaction, but also medical care during the day so that their caregivers can stay working during the day.
And your plan calls on coworkers and employers to do something as simple as step up, be compassionate, have a brown bag lunch, talk about this, help this caregiver.
And one of the things we need to do is kind of bring this a little bit out of the shadows. I think often there's still a little bit of stigma and shame around dementia. And one of the best things we found in our community meetings was how people came and just said, you know, this is the way it is, and this is how we're coping. And there was a sense of pride with many of them, and appropriately, in how they were managing. And I think we need to make sure that the broader community understands that dementia is a time when you change, and we need to have society respect that change, not isolate that change.
So now there's a plan, Rhode Island State Plan on Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders. What's next?
I'm only a fan of plans when they have action steps to be taken. So next month, we're going to get together. As you saw in the plan, there are lots of recommendations. We're going to sit down and we're going to set some priorities, 5 to 10 things we want to get done this year. We didn't talk very much about people who are in institutional settings. There's some fairly quick things we can do around, and we may see some legislation around how do we make sure when you are looking for a dementia unit for your family member, you know what that means, that we have some set of standards of what you should expect in terms of staffing and support and programming. But we're going to set, as a group, because this has been a great group of volunteers statewide, set some priorities for the coming year, get those done, meet periodically to keep us on task, and I would say keep moving forward. It will be a living document.
Lieutenant Governor Elizabeth Roberts, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.